And it's been more than 10 months since the U.S. began its bombing campaign against the so-called Islamic State. The government has spent more than $2 billion, participated in nearly 4,000 airstrikes, and sent 3,000 troops to Iraq. But technically speaking, it's not a war. Neither was the war in Afghanistan or the one in Iraq. Both were authorizations for use of military force, or AUMFs. One passed by Congress in 2001 after 9/11, allowing force against terrorists. One passed in 2002 for use of force against Iraq. The White House has said that the current fight against ISIS is covered by those authorizations. But after criticism, President Obama sent lawmakers his proposal for another AUMF, or authorization of military force, against the Islamic State specifically. And our next guest asks, why hasn't Congress voted on that? Senator Tim Kaine is a Democrat from Virginia. He joins us from his office. And Senator Kaine, I simplified your question. How would you phrase it?
No, I'd the same way. Why are we in month 10 of an undeclared war? The president calls it a war. I think the argument that it's covered by any earlier authorization is without merit. And so the only way to do war, according to our Constitution, is for Congress to declare it. And yet we've had a Congress that has either lacked the backbone or been indifferent about the ISIL threat, and it's been extremely discouraging.
Well, and you go further and say that not only is it unconstitutional, but it's disrespectful of the troops.
Absolutely. The way the framers set up the system, we don't go to war unless Congress declares it. And the reason for that is the underlying value. If we're asking people to risk their lives, there should be some kind of a debate by the people's elected legislative body to say this mission is in the national interest. American service members have lost their lives in connection with Operation Inherent Resolve already, and thousands have been deployed far away from home and family. If we're so indifferent that we won't even debate the mission and declare it to be a good thing, how dare we ask people to risk their lives?
Okay, so these are very stirring points that you're making, but you're a member of Congress. So who's at fault here? What's the answer to why it hasn't happened?
You know, I do put some blame on the White House's shoulders. When they started this bombing campaign on the 8th of August, they should have sent an authorization at Congress a lot sooner than mid-February. But since February, it's been purely on our shoulders, and I do blame Congress for being lackadaisical. In fact, even if the president hadn't sent over an authorization, it's still Congress's duty to declare war. So I introduced a resolution in the Senate in early September. People didn't want to take it up because there was a midterm election coming up. We finally got a vote on it in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at the end of December, and it passed out of committee. But on the floor, no one would take it up because, well, the Senate's about to change hands. The Republicans are taking over. You know, let's not do this now. When the Republican majority came into the Senate, they said, well, the president hadn't sent us an authorization yet, so we're going to wait on that. Then the authorization came in February, and then they said, well, we're in the middle of the discussion about Iran, so we need to wait a little while. The good news is the leadership of foreign relations in the Senate has at least now said, okay, now that we've passed the Iran Review Act, we are ready to tackle this.
Well, look, is part of the problem, as critics of this Congress in particular would say, why should lawmakers cast a vote on a military action that could go either way when they can sit on the sidelines and criticize without having to have a vote on their records?
Robin, it sounds like you're a member of Congress. I mean, that is precisely the issue. Really, since the ink was dry on the Constitution, members of Congress, Whig, Federalist, Republican, or Democratic, have generally said, wait a minute, war is controversial, war is unpopular, even in the best circumstances, there will be loss of life. If we can just let the president do it, and if it goes well, we'll say, of course, we were behind it all the time, and if it goes badly, Mr. President, how dare you do this? That's what the problem is. There is a pathological symbiosis of executive overreach and congressional abdication, and Congress is abdicating here in a major way. And our allies in the region, many of whom are here this week to talk to the president about the challenges in the Middle East, they don't know if we have any resolve. ISIL has, to all accounts, Congress must be completely indifferent or not care one whit about ISIL, which has been, you know, doing all these atrocious things, including horrific murders of American aid workers and others.
And what, by the way, if it miraculously moves through the hearing process, the committee process, and gets the vote, what if it doesn't pass?
If it doesn't pass, then we should stop putting the U.S. military and our service members' lives at risk over a mission that Congress doesn't think is worthwhile. I think that there's a lot at stake here, but this is supposed to be one of the powers that Congress should most jealously guard and not allow the executive to grab away. Yeah. I am, Robin, optimistic that if we take this up, we will authorize military action with some appropriate definition and limitation because, as I talk to my colleagues here, overwhelmingly, both houses, both parties, think that the American military should be involved, certainly to support nations in the region as they battle this terrorist threat.
So are you saying, you know, time constraints, which, you know, have been alluded to, as opposed to the open-ended authorization of 2001?
Yes, there need to be some time restraints in the sunset, and also some careful definition of what the mission is. We are supporting nations that are fighting their own terrorist threat. It can't be the U.S. against ISIL. But if the region is willing to stand up to its own terrorism, they should get our support. And we need to define the mission in that way.
Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
And a quick note, there's another bill under consideration today in the Senate that would give President Obama fast-track authority to finish negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, and then present Congress with a proposed trade agreement. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is leading a chorus of voices who say that deal isn't transparent and will lead to the dismantling of regulations. We'll be watching this story as well.